And every one of you, it's good to see you here this evening, that you had the desire to be able to come and to attend to the service. And I know our brother has words to speak and that the Lord works with him in his life. I would pray that you would say a prayer for him. He's has a little bit of physical pain, but nevertheless, he's here because he is fulfilling that obligation that he has to serve the Lord. And I'm thankful for that. And I would pray for him and introduce him at this time, our brother Ken.
It is good to be back in the United States. Good to be here. I'd like to welcome each of you, those on live stream. I'd like to welcome you to our service this evening. I'm a little bit of pain, but not too much. I had some minor surgery Thursday, and the Lord has blessed me tremendously through that. Didn't have near the pain or discomfort that they had kind of warned me I might have. But so I'm thankful for that. Brother Adam, when he's making the announcements this morning, had kind of hesitantly introduced me as a speaker tonight and asked me if I, he said, I hope, basically, what I got out of it, I hoped I was ready because he didn't have anything and I didn't have anything either. But, so I was going to, I thanked Brother Steve afterwards for giving us that 3 minutes of quiet at the beginning of the service, because as soon as Adam finished introducing Steve this morning, thoughts just kept rolling through my head, and I took that 3 minutes and kind of wrote down some scripture. So that was the beginning of my sermon, was actually during one of the songs this morning. You know, traveling, and you can see you don't have to travel to see it, but you work, you go to school, you go shopping, you do whatever, and you can see how evil the world is. You know, and the words of Paul, he said, we're to be in the world. We have to be in the world. You know, we have to work. We have to make a living. We have to grow a grocery shop, and you have to get an education. All things that we have to do in this world, but he warned us not to be part of the world. You know, we rub shoulders with every kind of people, you know. I've been out of the workforce for several years, and I started a part-time job, and, you know, people I work with, I rub shoulders with probably every kind of individual you would experience in this world. Different beliefs, different values. But the Lord said, do not be part of it. And you know, and I kind of hit me, and I understood, you know, other brothers and sisters who work, and they ask for prayers and they testify, you know, be a good example. To be a good example. And then I find how important that is, to be a good example when we go to school, when we go shopping, when we work, to show the light of Christ. So I'm not really going to preach about that tonight. Just wanted to kind of preface my sermon with, we live in an evil, evil world. And the words of the song this morning that struck my heart was number 15. Tell me the old story. And it's in the second verse, it says, tell me the story slowly that I may take it in. And I find that so important. You know, there's another one that says, tell me the old story. It's forever new. The story of Jesus Christ, of his redemption, of his salvation, of his gospel, of his love, never grows old. Never grows old. And the wonderful thing about the story of Christ is it never changes. Never changes. This world changes as people change, we change, but the gospel of Christ never changes. The old story that we hold on to never, ever changes. So it says, tell me the story now that I may take it in. That wonderful redemption, God's remedy for sin. The redemption of Jesus Christ. You know, when he came to earth, he came, and I'm kind of repeating a little bit of some other sermons, but he came, and it's so important that we remember this, that we hold on to this, that we grasp it, and maybe more fully realize the significance of his life. Because he came for one reason. One reason, and that was to die. He came to hang on the cross and to die for you and for me. And we need to fully embrace that, to fully understand the significance of that, that he came to die. He had such a great love for us. He had such a great compassion for us. He came to give us life, that we have the opportunity, the hope of eternal life in his kingdom. That's the end of our lives. That's the end of our hope. When we draw our last breath, that is our hope. That is our prayer on our dying lips, perhaps. Lord, take me in. So the story of Christ really is his redemption and his remedy for sin. God's remedy for sin, of course, is to adhere to his words, to keep his commandments, to serve him, to follow him, to walk in his path. That's his remedy. And not just lip service, not just showing up to church this morning, this evening, and Wednesday, but daily. Daily we walk worthy of the redemption of Jesus Christ. Worthy of his love, worthy of his sacrifice. And we will never be worthy. And that's the problem. That's the maybe the key to the whole thing. We'll never be worthy of that love. We'll never be worthy of that redemption, of the power of his blood. You know, it's a song we sing in the Green Book, and I really like it. Are you washed in the blood? Have you come to Jesus and been washed in the blood of Christ? Yeah, we've taken upon us the name of Christ. We've entered into the waters of baptism, but have we truly and really and honestly been washed in the blood of Christ? Received that redemption with all our heart and with all our mind, with all our soul. Not just lip service, not just because it's required, not because we read about it, not just because it's a command, but because it's who we are. I often ask myself, who am I? Who am I? Who are we? Who are we? It's not our job. That's not who we are. It's not our education. That's not who we are. It's not our position in society. That's not who we are. Who we are members of the Church of Christ. Members of God's kingdom. That's who we are. And if we're anything else, we're falling so far short of his calling to us. I was in Mexico, and this scripture came to me in one of my sermons. And it's in the third book of Nephi in the fifth chapter. And just so you know, I stopped giving page numbers. I don't give page numbers in the Book of Mormon anymore. You know, I don't give page numbers in the Bible. I'm not going to give page numbers in the Book of Mormon because we need to know where it's at. Third Nephi, the fifth chapter, and I'm going to begin at the ninth verse. The first appearing of Jesus Christ to this land. And he announces himself. He announces who he is. I'm going to begin at verse 8. And this voice, there's a voice. And saith unto, behold my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, and in whom I have glorified my name, hear ye him. And it came to pass, as they understood, they cast their eyes up again towards heaven. And behold, they saw a man descending out of heaven. And he was clothed in a white robe, and he came down and stood in the midst of them. And the eyes of the whole multitude were turned upon him, and they durst not open their mouths, even one to another, and wist not what it meant. For they thought it was an angel that had appeared unto them. Logical, isn't it? Hey, here comes an angel. And it came to pass that he stretched forth his hand and spake unto the people, saying, behold, I am Jesus Christ, announced to the world, to this part of the world, who he was. I am Jesus Christ, of which the prophets testified should come into the world. And behold, I am the light and the life of the world. The key to this whole scripture is, I am the light and the life of the world. He is the light. He's the life. He is the redemption. He is God's remedy for sin. Only through the name of Jesus Christ. He says, I have drunk out of that bitter cup which the Father has given me, and have glorified the Father in taking upon me the sins of the world, in the which I have suffered the will of the Father in all things from the beginning. His words, I am Jesus Christ. Simple statement. Simple statement that he said to about 2,500 people that were gathered, announced who he was. Romans chapter 1. And he came to die, and he came to give us life. He came to give us the words of life. We have, in the two books that we have the words of life. And Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Are we ashamed when we go to the store? Are we ashamed when we go to school? Are we ashamed when we go to work? Are we ashamed when we're at the intersection of the gospel of Christ? I hope not. I hope we're not ashamed. She says, for it's the power of God unto salvation, the words of life, the words of Jesus Christ. We have everything we need. We need nothing else besides what Christ gave us for salvation. Absolutely nothing. He said, to everyone who believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, in the Book of Mormon, in 2 Nephi, in the first chapter, Second Nephi chapter 1, verse 119. When God created Adam, when he made Eve out of the rib of Adam, he gave us one thing. He gave us something. He gave Adam something that he's never, ever taken away from us. He gave us free will to choose. He gave Eve that will, that free will to choose sin. He gave Adam that free will to follow. He gives us free. He doesn't force us. He's not forcing us to do anything. He's not going to beat us down in submission. He's going to lead us and guide us and direct us. The choice is ours. Just like the choice was Adam's and Eve's and all the ancient prophets and everybody before us, the choice is ours. In verse 119, wherefore men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given unto them which are expedient unto man. Everything that's necessary, we have. And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life. We have that freedom, brothers and sisters, to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediator of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil. Who do we choose to serve this day? When we walk out of this door tonight, who are we going to choose to serve? Are we going to serve our Lord and Master, or are we going to serve this world? Are we going to yield to the temptations? Are we going to yield to the pleasures? Are we going to yield to the weaknesses of the flesh? Are we going to yield to not speak? Are we going to yield to walk away? Are we going to yield not to be good examples? For he, speaking of the devil, seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself. And that's our end. If we choose not to follow Jesus Christ with our hearts and with our minds, our end is to be miserable for eternity. For eternity. Think of the worst day you've ever experienced in your life. Multiply that maybe by 10,000. That's the way we're going to be for eternity. we're going to realize what we missed. It's going to be like a burning fire within us. Perhaps we can see it. Perhaps we'll know it's there. No, we'll never experience that. We're forever, for eternity, cut off from the life-giving power of Jesus Christ. And now, my sons, I would that you should look to the great mediator and hearken unto his great commandments, and be faithful unto his words, and choose eternal life according to the will of his Holy Spirit, and not choose eternal death according to the will of the flesh and the evil which is therein. The scripture was read this morning, Mosiah chapter 1, verse 119. The natural man is an enemy to God. An enemy to God. How do we not be an enemy to God? By yielding to the power of his Spirit and being born again. Then we're not enemies to God. And hearken unto his great commandments. You know, the crux of Christ's ministry, and he gave us lots of words. He's preached the Sermon on the Mount. He told us how to live. He really told us how to control our emotions, to control our anger, to control the flesh. But his greatest message, of course, was the gospel of salvation. The words of life. God is leading. God is directing. It may seem like a small thing, but when I was in Mexico, we went to a place called Bacalar. And it's a forever drive just to get there. It's about a 5.5-hour drive to get to this place. And I don't understand the reason why, but this man's wife, who is a member of our church, had to go back to her childhood home. She's 70 years old. I don't know if it had something to do with keeping the property or what, but she had to go back and live at her childhood home. So we picked up her husband, and we're going to take him to see her and to go to church. Well, it's another hour and a half. And on this road, people have been to Africa and other countries, know what I'm talking about. The road starts out nice, and then all of a sudden it gets narrower and narrower. And you kind of feel like you're driven to the end of the world, and then you go just a few feet further. And that's where her house was, the last house on this path. But you know what? Already, and this is the second time that the brothers have met, there's already a neighbor coming to join the services. Is God working in mysterious ways? Is he reaching out to his children? Is he teaching that gospel of salvation, that plan of redemption? Teaching this lady, middle-aged, got children. Is he teaching her? Is he giving her the opportunity to learn about that faith that we must have and that repentance that we must have and that we must be baptized and endure to the end? That's his gospel of salvation. I don't believe in coincidence, not for an instant. I don't believe that this lady had to go back to her childhood home for just because she had to go. There was a reason for it. Certainly not making it easier for the missionaries to go see her, but God knows. I don't believe in coincidences. You know, we have a new sister in the gospel. It wasn't a coincidence her and Jared met. I don't believe that was a coincidence. That was God's will. That was his leading. God doesn't do anything by chance. We just don't happen to fall into something. We are led by his Spirit. So we're free. Our sister was free to choose. Now she's free to choose to continue that path. We're all free to choose who we serve. And how we serve may be as much as important as who. We all know who. That's not a question, but how? How do we serve? Mosiah chapter 3. Verse 8. Mosiah chapter 3, verse 8. I'm going to read 8 through 11. Mosiah chapter 3, verse 8. And now because of the covenant which ye have made, Those of us who have entered into the waters of baptism made that covenant to serve God, to be led by His Spirit, to allow Him and to control our life. You shall be called the children of Christ, His sons and His daughters. For behold, this day He has spiritually begotten you. For ye say that your hearts are changed both through faith on His name. Therefore ye are born of Him and become His sons and His daughters. And under this head you are made free. And there is no other head whereby you can be made free. There is no other name given whereby salvation cometh. Therefore I would that ye should take upon you the name of Christ. All you that have entered into the covenant with God, that ye should be obedient unto the end of your lives. Over and over and over again in the scriptures, we are commanded to be obedient, to endure until when? Next week? Next Sunday? We endure to next Sunday and come back again? No, we endure to the end of our lives. You know, in 2 Nephi chapter 13, 2 Nephi chapter 13, in verse 27, we're asked a question. After that ye have gotten into the straight and narrow path, I would ask, if all is done, are we done? Those of us who have entered into the waters of baptism, taken upon us the name of Christ, we can just sit back in our easy chair and put our hands in our pocket and just, we're done? We're done, are we? And he says, behold, and I say unto you, nay, we're not done. For you have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, the word of Christ, the gospel of salvation, the power of God to eternal life, with unshaken faith in Him, relying wholly upon the merits of Him who is mighty to save. The words of the song, that wonderful redemption, God's remedy for sin, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our remedy for sin, God's redemption. Wherefore, ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way nor name given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. Only through the redemption of Jesus Christ. Only in His name can we have salvation. Again, in the Book of Mormon, Helaman, chapter 5. Helaman chapter 5, 85, verse 85. And now remember, my brethren, that whosoever perisheth unto himself, and whosoever doeth iniquity, doeth it unto himself. Behold, ye are free. Ye are permitted to act for yourselves, for behold, God has given unto you a knowledge, and He has made you free. God has given us the knowledge of good and evil, given us the knowledge of redemption, given us the knowledge of eternal life, of the plan of salvation. We're free. We're free to choose, and I guess God's call to you tonight is, are you going to choose to follow Him with full purpose, with all your hearts? It's not a game. It is not a game. You don't get to do over again tomorrow. You lose today, you don't get to replay the game. You know, I understand the Arizona Diamondbacks made it to the playoffs. They play a one-game playoff in a week or two. Hey, if they lose that, they'll go home. There's no two games. They do not get to do it again. We don't get to do it again. One chance. We have one chance. We better make the best of that chance. He has given unto you that ye might know good from evil, and has given unto you that ye might choose life or death. And you can do good and be restored unto that which is good, or have that which is good restored unto you, or you can do evil and have that which is evil restored unto you. The choice is ours. 2 Nephi chapter 7. Second Nephi 7, verse 41. Second Nephi 7, 41. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, reconcile yourselves to the will of God and not to the will of the devil and the flesh. There's two forces at war for our souls. One is God, the other is the devil and his leadings, the leading of the flesh, the leading of the adversary, and they're at war. He says, reconcile ourselves to the will of God. First of all, we need to know what the will of God is. And the will of God is we have eternal life. The will of the devil is we have eternal life with him. And remember that after ye are reconciled unto God, that it is only in and through the grace of God that ye are saved. By the love of God, his grace in our lives. You know, if you read in Moroni, it says, after all that we can do, we are saved by grace. After all we can do. Wherefore, may God raise you from death by the power of the resurrection, and also from everlasting death by the power of the atonement, that ye may be received in the eternal kingdom of God, that ye may praise him through grace divine. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 22. Romans 6, 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. That should be our desire. That should be what we produce in our lives. Fruit unto holiness. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, if you went to Galatians in the fifth chapter, you can read about the works of the flesh. And he lists them all, and we're all fairly familiar with them. You know, he lists those works of death. Paul said, if we do these things, have them in our lives, we can't enter the kingdom of heaven. And then he goes on, and he lists the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what we need to have in our lives. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Let's turn there real quick, Galatians chapter 5. These should be manifest in our life. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Have we truly crucified the flesh? Have we set aside the world? Carnal desires, carnal feelings. Those things of the world that seem good, have we set them aside? Have we crucified the flesh? Have we put it to death? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Simple commandment, simple statement. If we live in the Spirit, which we do, we've been born of that Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Ether chapter 5. Ether chapter 5, one verse, verse 4. And here's the hope. Here is the hope that we have through Jesus Christ. Ether 5, 4, wherefore whoso believeth in God might with surety hope for a better world. Yea, even a place at the right hand of God, which hope cometh of faith, maketh an anchor to the souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast, always abounding in good works, being led to glorify God. That's our hope. At the end of this life, we have eternal life with Christ and God and their eternal kingdom. It says, might with surety. It's not a false hope or a maybe hope. It is a hope that is sure and steadfast that we have that place with God. A couple promises in the scriptures in Psalms chapter 147. I think these are words of comfort to us. Psalm 147, verse 11, it says, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy. He takes pleasure in us when we have hope. Those that worship him and hope in him, he takes pleasure in us. He takes pleasure in us. In Alma, chapter 18. Alma, chapter 18, verse 2. It says, now, my son, I trust that I shall have great joy in you because of your steadiness, and your faithfulness unto God. For as you've commenced in your youth to look to the Lord your God, even so I hope that you will continue in keeping his commandments, for blessed is he that endureth to the end. Well, the young people here, learn the commandments of God in your youth. Learn to keep them. Learn to be observant. Keep them throughout your lives. Us older ones, we need to keep them the rest of our lives. Endure to the end. Because we will be blessed. Blessed in this life? No doubt about that. But more importantly, blessed in the eternal life that is waiting for us. But of course, we have some responsibilities. 1 John. Not John, 1 John. Chapter 3. 1 short, simple verse. 1 John 3:3. For every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Even as Christ is pure, we that have this hope purify ourselves. We live a life that is worthy of Christ to the best of our ability. Moroni said, we do everything that we can. His grace is sufficient to make us pure, to make us holy, to sanctify us. John 14. I think I'm going to end with this scripture. The promise of God to us. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Let's not let our hearts be troubled this night, tomorrow, this week. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Believe in Christ. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Christ, he came. He died, and now he went. He's preparing a house for you, preparing a house for me. And he says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. He's going to return to gather his people home and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Christ is building us a house for eternity, an eternal house in the heavens. Isn't that a glorious thought? Isn't that a wonderful thought? Isn't that a great comfort? That the Lord is building a house for us. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. We know how to get there. We have the gospel of Christ. We have the words of salvation. We have the words of Christ. We know what we must do to get there. Let's not be weary of the old story. Let's not get weary of listening to it over and over and over again. Tell me the story slowly, that I may take it in. That wonderful redemption, God's remedy for sin. Thank you.